things cannot be long hidden. The sun, the moon, and the truth. So tonight, the truth is going to be unfiltered and full of flavor. Please welcome Dana McCool and Eric Raimondo, bringing you the Smoking Truth.
Happy Friday. As you all can see, I am lonely here. I have the OG.
Still have me.
I have OG here with me.
Hi.
Hi, OG. But my brother Eric is still tolling away selflessly in Tallahassee, advocating for all the little folk. So, Eric, I miss you, my friend, my brother, my co-host. But he allegedly will be calling in to us from Tally with some updates on important things that he's doing. So we'll see about that. So today, what I did, since I knew that I was going to be alone, it had been 2 weeks. Eric was out of town. I had been out of town. I said, I can't go another week without the Smoking Truth. It was calling to me. You were calling to me. I had people saying, I missed you. What's going on? Our Tuesdays are messed up because you're not here. And I said, listen, I put out the call on social media. And what I put out was that my brother Eric was stuck in Tallahassee. And I'd like for you to submit questions, and I'll answer them to be aired on Tuesday. And I said, and go. And boy, did we get some comments. And so I'm going to go through those questions here. So you're going to have to bear with me. There are things on here on a couple of the sites. And we'll get into them. Why was William Sell not invited? That was one of the top questions there. And it's because I don't like William Sell that much. He's the shittiest politician in Volusia. He never invites me to go fishing, and he's not invited me to ride in his Jeep. So I don't like William Sell. I love William Sell. Everybody knows that. He and I are the crappiest politicians in Volusia County politics. So we do have that. So I'm going to start going down this row of questions here, and I have some that were submitted. So here we go. Number one is from someone on the Volusia Issues page. Y'all insinuated fraud and corruption in Daytona with commission handling out dollars to related fake nonprofits, whether it was COVID recovery or bike week funds, I can't remember, but the inference was more soon than it was 60 days ago. Who to what for why, how related and how much? Greg, I don't know. You would have to ask your friendly local Daytona commissioners about that. You could also explain how state law enables, constrains the locals to allow field development, how in the retain your own water sounds very reasonable versus the disastrous results on the ground. There's so much here. How does the teachers union really have the member numbers to be a valid union anymore, or have they destroyed it like parent confidence with their lefty crazy pandering? I'm going to stop right there. I can get back to the other stuff, but that's really for those local commissions to ask. So I've asked the question out loud. Perhaps they will answer back, because I know that some of the commissioners listen to the show, watch the show, so they can answer that. But I'm going to go back here. How does the teachers union really have the member numbers to be a valid union anymore, or have they destroyed it like parent confidence with their lefty crazy pandering? And I'm going to answer this. This is from Greg Gimbert, and it's somebody that I like sparring with, because I'm going to say that this question is total BS, and he knows that. And this is provocateur stuff, because I don't think that the teachers union does crazy lefty pandering. I think what they do is stand up for teachers trying to do a teacher's job is what I think they do. So as far as the numbers, if they have the 60%, I don't know. That is something that they're looking into, that they're having to answer. I know that by state mandate that we have to understand what those numbers are in complete transparency. I don't even know what that says. If the teachers union doesn't have the numbers, I don't know if it's a financial thing. What is the dues? I don't know what the dues are. Is it a leadership thing with the union? I don't know, because I don't know the union that well. But I take exception to the crazy left pandering here. I think that label gets attached to anyone that tries to make sure that there is equality across the board, not just for straight, white, Protestant, mansplaining stuff. So perhaps that's where the rub comes in, is that we are not trying to evangelize all students. And I think that makes the crazy right crazier. So I'm just going to go with that. We could sit here all day and talk about that, what we're teaching our children. Tell you what we're not teaching them, but we'll get into that later also. I just baloney. So let's go back. Let's do some more stuff here. David Souza proposed a law constraining increase in total amount of property taxes collected without a supermajority vote in an effort to limit tax increases. It should say David Souza posted a proposed law constraining increases in total amount of property taxes collected without a supermajority vote in an effort to limit tax increases. Surprisingly, not many people were excited to see that, and the comments that we did yet pretty much summed up that they felt like our homes were protecting them just fine anyways. I'm sure those people commented that way. I'm sure represent a lot of people who chose not to comment. And that means that they don't see the bigger picture where larger increases are possible that overwhelm their Save Our Homes protections. We're going to get into that. As you know, Save Our Homes only limits the increase in one of the variables of the property tax algebra and needs to be explained to the public better. I agree with that. And then Joe Hanush, Mr. Libertarian, love, have him on the Smoking Truth. Property tax rent to government, paying rent to government, should be abolished. HB 1371 is just a start. So let's talk about HB 1371. Let me tell you what the true text of HB 1371 is. It's a bunch of horse hockey here. These are the numerous words in HB 1371. A bill to be entitled an act relating to a property tax system study requiring OPAGA and government accountability to conduct a study and submit a report by a specified date, providing an effective date. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Florida, Section 1, the Office of Program Policy Analysis and Government Accountability, let's just shorten that, it's OPAGA, shall study the potential impact of eliminating all property tax and replacing lost revenue through the establishment of a consumption tax. OPAGA shall submit a report on its findings to the President of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives by February 1st, 2025. I got to tell you, this shit's dead in the water. It didn't go anywhere. Session is in effect over. If it's not in, it's going to die. And let me tell you why it's going to die, why nobody took interest in this. Do you even understand what you're saying when you're talking about doing away with property taxes? Let's just sit for a moment. Do we have crickets, OG? Do we have Jeopardy music? Do we have something to reflect upon?
Maybe crickets.
Okay. Go for it.
Well, I got to get to it. Hold on.
Okay. That was enough time to reflect on that. Doing away with property taxes. Everyone has these fine notions and fine ideas about doing this, but I want to ask you, how are you going to capture that revenue to pay for your municipal services? Go ahead and tell me that. Consumption taxes, it's BS. Because as it stands right now, I want to take just our enterprise fund, the water department fund. Let's talk about that. Say that we have 30% of the people using our enterprise fund, using the water. That's how we fund it, through water bills, consumption use. 30% of the people that are using water don't even pay for the services. The minimum that they get charged right now doesn't even pay for the maintenance and for the routine services that are happening, the water bill. People that are snowbirds. I'm not attacking snowbirds, but I'm just giving you an illustration of who might not use their water all the time. And so therefore, you're not consuming. Therefore, a service is still being provided to you. How do we pay for that then? I'll wait right here. Same thing. If you want to do it that way with that, okay, let's do away with that. And let's go to a strictly service-based tax. Now you know who's going to be paying taxes. You know who's going to be paying big taxes? Churches. Nonprofits. Agriculture. How's that going to work out? The study is dead because people know it's not going to work. The same thing, this is what's going to happen also. The proposed increase in homestead exemption. Let's talk about that. How are you going to replace that revenue? The state's not going to replace it. The feds aren't going to replace it. The city is going to be responsible for replacing it. So as a commissioner, okay, let's do that. Let's lose more revenue because 48% of our city is on some type of exemption and pay $0 to $500 in taxes as it goes right now. So it's not that the city of Deltona is throwing your money away or misspending it. It's that we don't make that much money because of the way our taxes are set up. So we can do that. And then here's what's going to happen. We're going to do a special storm assessment, which is going to be a gracious plenty. We would enact a higher waste disposal because y'all are moving out in alarming numbers, leaving your garbage on the side of the road for us to pick up. That's not going to be sustainable for long. So we're going to have to increase that. Let's talk about water bills. Maybe we're going to have to charge more on the tiered system because we're not getting, well, that's its own enterprise fund. So it wouldn't really affect our general fund, but it would their revenue stream. And then now we're going to impose taxes on churches by via special assessments. And that's what's going to happen. It's going to be in a fire district. And there's going to be, it's going to be a lot more taxation. So when somebody romances you and tell you that they're going to do away with property taxes because it sounds sexy, and that's why your big boys up in Tallahassee did this to you on 1317 and it died. I give you that. Ooh, sexy. Let's get back to some more questions since I have opined quite long enough on that. I'm just getting started, y'all. Some of the stuff here. I'm waiting on my brother to call in 10 minutes. So, hold on. Let us go back here. Okay. Da-da-da. Ooh, okay. So this right here, I'm going to get Joe Hanush on the here to talk libertarian to me. Obviously, I need to be explained more how doing away with that helps. Okay. All right. Jennifer Waldo Kelly. Jennifer's been on the show, Moms for Liberty. She is no stranger to controversy. She speaks her mind in the name of protecting children. I like her, but we don't agree on everything. We agree on hardly anything, but I respect what she does. You don't have to hate people because you have different political beliefs. It is possible to be friends with people that are extremely opposite from you if you have an open mind. Ask yourself why you're really mad at people, you know? So, why does the VCS district think they can bully parents with threats of breaking the law? I don't know, Jennifer, we'd have to get into that question in more depth. I don't really. Why are they slow walking the removal of the porn books? And why did it take public exposure to remove inappropriate links they added to the state mandated health lessons, mental health lessons, included a chat room for 13 to 24 year olds? Let's break down the first question first. Why are they slow walking the removal of porn books? First of all, there's policy and procedure to follow. All of these policies and procedures are mandated at the state level. Volusia County School District is responsible for making sure that those guidances get followed. That's what the VCS does. They don't do anything without the state mandates or recommendations. Why are they slow walking removal of the porn books? I think out of the 198 that you proposed, there are four going through process right now, and there is a very specific process for removing these books that include writing in. It includes a lot of policy that I am being told has not been followed, and that's why the porn books, I've not read them all, and Jennifer, you and I have talked about this, the fact that I read some of the books, and I was like, oh my God, really? That can be in college, but certainly not available to people that we're trying to talk out of not being sexually active. And we'll get into that also after the next question. So I believe that they are following protocol, but it is not happening quickly enough for the right. So that is my opinion. We can absolutely talk about this on the show when you come back to the show, what we think the expectation should be. And, you know, here's the thing. I haven't heard any parents saying that their children were actually reading these books. So having them available and actually reading, I think, are two different things. So there's that. And some of the books that were put forward, I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, we have to talk about these things that are in these books. And that's another reason why public schools are taking a crap. But anyways, why did it take public exposure to remove inappropriate links they added to the state-mandated mental health lessons, included a chat room for 13 to 24-year-olds? So here's the problem with this, that these links were state mandated, as you said, and VC school board is just following policy that the state is putting down. So the state is providing these approved mental health links, the state. That means your Uncle Ron Daddy. That's where the buck stops right there. So I believe the chat rooms for 13 to 24-year-olds, that is provided by the provider, which was approved by the state. So this is a fight that you need to take to your Uncle Daddy Ron. He is the one that's approving this, those mean old nasty righties. They're the ones approving the stuff that you're disapproving of. So I'm asking you, which righty is the right righty? I don't know. You'll have to ask. So public exposure, I'm going to say that that's a whole state thing, Jennifer, and we can talk about that. Let's go down to the next one. There's a huge conversation to have about the county council getting together and pass an ordinance that county chair must be a ventriloquist dummy at the state of the city and him sitting there going along with it. And Jennifer, I did not hear Councilman Johansson's comment about the Constitution, but I will go back and listen to that. So here's the thing. You have an elected official that was elected until such time moving forward as the county chair. And there is not a lot of consensus upon that dais. And much like at the city level, our mayor's comments are his own and not necessarily endorsed by the whole commission. But they are in that position and in that chair, and with that takes certain liberties. And I think that it's BS to try to pass an ordinance that you have to approve his comments before they're sent out. I mean, we're doing that with proclamations, with our mayor, with proclamations. But the state of the county, the state of the county is a different animal. That's who's giving the report. I would be glad to see the whole dais at the state of the county myself. I know that our representation was not there for District 5, and I'm having a conversation about that. That should be bothersome, but I've seen no comments about that. But okay, let's move on to the next thing. Now that Ormond Crossings has become a thing, there's going to be a ton of CRA money wasted there. Remind everybody that CRA stands for Community Redevelopment Area, meaning those taxes are supposed to be siphoned to fight blight. So how does some woods that's never been developed in the first place qualify for blight? Yet another rob the people to pay the developer scam, this time in good old Ormond Beach instead of Daytona. Go figure. Listen, I have problems with development welfare also. But again, that starts in Tallahassee. And until you slap the shit out of Tallahassee and all of their hand job developer bills, what good is it at the local level? You're not going to just keep passing out the hand jobs at the state level. Until you stop that, that ain't going to happen. You had the Senate president, Pasadomo, sending down the SB hand job with developer money, and this having unintended consequences, whatever. It starts in Tallahassee, people. The municipalities are chained by what is said at the state level. You want that? Go change that. Again, thank you, Uncle Daddy Ron, for being a permissive slut as far as development goes. And yes, I just called the governor a permissive slut, which that's probably whatever. I'm not going to go personal. I said I was not going to do that, but whatever. Somebody said also, Joe Hanush, as far as questions to be answered, I'd like some content on candidates running for office. I feel too many voters have no idea who's running. Thanks for doing what you do. And Joe, we do have a schedule. Our schedule will be starting up in about May, June, that we're going to start having in the big room. We're going to start having candidates on to talk about that. I know that we have already had Randy Dye on. We've had Jason on, who's running for the mayor of Ormond Beach. So we're going to have candidates on. Thank you for asking that. So I think that the schedule is dictating about May or June so that we don't do burnout. We do it close enough to elections. We'll have Randy Dye back on. We will have the chair back on as he's running. One of my favorite humans, Don Burnett, will have him on also. And then I will invite the other candidates. I invited some school board members, and I don't know that they will participate. But, yeah, so we'll see. I love that. Why was William Sell not invited? There again, I answered that question at the beginning of the show because I don't like William Sell that much. He smokes too much. He, yeah, there's a lot that's going on with William Sell. He's a crappy politician. And he doesn't let me sit next to him at trivia when I go to the Republican Diner. By the way, I go there once a month to the Republican Diner, and so far I've not been eaten or kicked out. So I just want to mention that. Why am I spending my Democratic money in a Republican diner? Oh my God, have you tasted the fish? I'm just saying that. Anyways, this is sent in. Oh my God, Catherine Pante, who's been on the show. Girl, you are about to fire me up here, so let me just get up on my soapbox because I'm going to answer this, and I'm going to answer it with Jesus riding on my shoulder because I'm telling you right now, this is the stuff. Okay, domestic violence shelter that includes help with housing so victims don't return to abusive partners for lack nowhere to live and financial means. The cities and counties need a come to Jesus moment where they actually admit overdevelopment is the cause of our countywide flooding issues. No one is buying this 500-year storm event nonsense. Acknowledge they caused it, stop building, and address the infrastructure. Issue a countywide moratorium on all new subdivisions and apartment complexes. Further, we are a beach town and we'd like to keep it that way, so need to say no to heavy industry that is a danger to human life, has the potential to pollute our environment and water resources. We're going to get into that as soon as I ask OG, what's the text message you got?
Eric is running a few minutes late. How long a few is, he didn't say.
Does he know how much I miss him?
I doubt it very seriously. You can see it in your face.
Can't you?
Yes, yes, your eyes, you can see it.
It's like happy.
Right, nobody had a high five.
Because he's a fucking man.
God, I know. I love it. I miss him. All right, listen. Here we go. Okay. Domestic violence shelters that includes help with housing so victims don't return to abusive partners for lack of nowhere to live and financial means. Let's just stop right there. Catherine, I want to talk to you and tell you that this is one of my hugest platforms, period. Domestic violence for me is my first platform that I stand on. I've asked the city of Deltona about it. I've been back and forth about what does the Beacon Center mean to us, since it's the only one that is legitimately able to operate under the constraints that is said by the state and by the Department of Family and Children's Services. Just claw my fucking eyes out right now. But we need more domestic violence help, period. I will tell you that someone that is working on it is State Representative Jessica Baker in Tallahassee. She's from Jacksonville. She's an attorney. That is what she's jumping on. I spoke with her at length about a bill that she is introducing, and this is regarding assessments of those situations. One of my asks also is that it is a de facto that judges are not made to provide data on injunction orders that they issue. So when a woman is abused, when she is sent to a judge for an order of protection, there is no way to capture that data that says how many that particular judge has signed or denied. Or even how many are requested. And I think that that's baloney because that goes towards funding. It goes to what elections, what information do you need to look? How many people look at judges on a ballot and can actually tell me what that judge's platforms are? I'll wait. I bet you, thank you. I'm going to bet you it's less than 20% of people that vote actually know what the judge's records are, because we're not asking questions like this, which is why we have our sheriff's department, our police departments overtaxed, sending people to jail. But then what happens? Judges let them out. You don't know what those records are, and we need that information. BOCA funding, which that is our victim advocacy, has been defunded by 41% at the federal level. 41%, I want you to take that in. They're cutting another 25% next year, and they want to further decrease it by another 20% by 2026, I believe what that is. So now you're going to have victim advocate shortage because we're not going to be able to fund it. Now, who funds it in lack of federal funds, Catherine? I'll wait. The governor? The Senate? They're not going to do that. Do you know why? Because the governor would rather hang on to record amount of surplus so that he could advertise to the world what a fucking tightwad he is, how disinterested he is in any social issues. So let's talk about that at the state. Let's come down to the county level. Let's talk at the county level. Seven white straight men sitting up on the dais. Well, I think they're all straight. Sitting up on the dais, and the largest concern that we have there is a motocross facility. So sit with that for a moment. No talk about educational needs. No talk about family and children services. No talk about infrastructure. No talk about domestic violence. We have a serious lack of womanhood up on that dais. That's what I'm going to say. Do you hear me, women, strong Volusia County women? We need you to run for office so that we can talk about these things, because we're not talking about these things. We're talking about how to go round and round on a motorcycle. That's what we're talking about. And no, I'm not against people getting out. No, I'm not against parents taking their children out to do stuff outdoors. No, I'm not opposed to that. But when you put that ahead of serious human needs that we have, mental health, okay? Mental health. Why do you think we have so many repeat offenders? Because that's not getting addressed. Drug and substance abuse. How many officers, how much law enforcement time are we spending on that? I want you to take a look at that. Domestic violence, drug and alcohol issues. How much time are we spending on those? Instead of addressing them in the way that they need to be addressed, getting involved at the county and state level, we're not doing that. We're pushing it down to the municipalities. Municipalities, cities are getting frustrated because we have no support, no financial support. All of our money has been taken away. We're having to pay for infrastructure now. We don't have the extra money to do that. Meanwhile, back up at the feds, let's take away advocate money because women don't really need to be advocated for. That's the message that I'm getting. So you're right about that, Catherine. I'm off of that soapbox now. The cities and counties need to come to Jesus moment where they actually admit overdevelopment is the cause. They're not going to do that. Do you know why? They're holding the lube for the developers' hand jobs. That's why. No one is taking it seriously. I mean, when you talk about it, you get gaslit that you're anti-development. No, how about I'm looking out for the people as far as, you know, another thing that needs to be looked at also is the breaks that we local municipalities are giving to developers. You know, we need to look at how they're submitting plans and what they're talking about. Just saying. No one is buying this 500-year storm event nonsense. No one's buying it, but it sure is being used a lot. It's just a one-time thing. No, what it did is it exposed our vulnerabilities. And we're not talking about it because we don't talk about it. It ain't really happening. Let's just keep building. We'll keep building. Y'all gonna keep building? I like when you go out down LPGA and you have all these fancy schmancy names for these developments, something preserve or something oaks. There's not a freaking preserve out there. This is underwater most of the time. It's daylighting out there in that whole subdivision. I won't even get started about the lack of planning for the bridge. And that won't even get started about putting Pioneer Trail Exchange before LPGA because, you know, I'm actually talking about that stuff. You're right. We need to come to Jesus. Issue a countywide what? That's a dirty word. I can't say that on air. I'm going to do it anyways because we're rebels right here at Smoking Truth. Issue a countywide, you ready? Moratorium. That's a filthy word. On all new subdivisions and apartment complexes. We can't do that because then developers can't get in and get their 40% of low-income housing so that they can build other shit with it. We can't do that. Yeah. No to heavy industry that is a danger to human life has the potential to pollute our environment and water resources. Listen. It's developer greed. Let's build all of it. Nobody's still answered this question, Catherine. Let me ask you this. how many people can sustainably live in Volusia County? We're at over 500,000 now. So tell me what that number is. Don't you have to quantify before you know how to shape? Don't you have to have strategic planning? Don't you need to know those numbers? Shouldn't we have known how many people that are going to fit into this box so that we can prepare for it? But no, we're just going to keep throwing shit up. And we're going to keep stuffing people in here until we can't handle their shit literally any longer. And then we'll find some way to bury it, some new fancy septic system or whatever, dude. That's what's going to happen. I would like a tallying and comeuppance of everybody's cups, because I'm pretty sure that everybody's cups runneth over right now. I don't know that everybody is following their cups. I think there's a lot of trading going on for, I want to see that number too. So there you go. Anyways. Yeah. All right. I'm going to go back here to these posts. Let's see. I got some, let's see here. All comments. Good. Okay. You could explain also how state law enables, constrains the locals to allow field development, and how in the retain your own water sounds very reasonable versus the disastrous results on the ground. So I think that there is conversation, Greg, opening up about compensatory, you know what I'm talking about? Water. That's being talked about, because here's what's happening.
Eric Raimondo.
Ooh.
He's on.
Brother.
Hold on. Hold on a second, Eric.
Hold on. He's putting you on, Eric.
All right, there you go.
Hello, Miss Platinum Cool. How are you doing?
Oh, my God. It wasn't the same. I couldn't even do Happy Friday.
Nobody to high five.
Nobody to high five. Well, I'll give you a Happy Friday. Happy Friday.
Okay. More better. So, my brother up there in Tallahassee, please give me a little rundown here, my love, on whatever you would like to talk about.
Well, I mean, look, I think there's, you know, while I have this little window to try to call in, what I'll tell you, there's a lot that's happening up here in many ways that is bipartisan. I know sometimes people look from the outside and they see infighting, not as obviously as bad as Congress, but I know it's the infighting, you know, between both sides of the aisle that makes the headline. And I understand that. But I've always told you before, Dana, that there's a lot that we do up here that is in a bipartisan fashion, and some things that are not so much in a bipartisan fashion. So I think the latest thing is, obviously, you and I have talked about this issue before on what we were doing to curtail those who were 16 and under from being on certain social media platforms, not all, but those that have those addictive traits, right, like the reels and this, that, and the other. So apparently, I guess today, the governor vetoed it because there was concerns he had about the bill and whether or not it would have passed constitutional muster. There were many of us in the House who felt that it would. But it did create a little concern for many, either on, even some on the Senate side who had concerns about just should we be getting involved in that way. And just from my own personal take, I've told you before, not advocating 100%, for anybody particular here. I'll just say for me, definitely as a parent, that I always felt, that we should be doing something. Now, maybe this is not the version. So I'm hearing there's probably going to be another version that's going to be coming back up towards the governor at some point that I think everybody can kind of agree to. So I think everybody generally understands that something needs to be done. It's just how far you go with it sometimes is always a question, correct? And so I'm of the mindset that something definitely needs to be done with the platforms, because I do believe, and I've had conversations with other folks privately, that if we don't do something now, because there are guardrails that are needed. I hate, I'm the only person talking about, I hate getting involved in private business affairs, correct? But as just a governmental entity. But at some point in time, we have to understand that these certain social media platforms are so effective in what they do with these algorithms. And now AI is coming around. And that's another topic that's going to come around for years to come, is the discussions around AI. And what kind of either moral obligation do we have? And also to your point, comment we made once before, Dana, about that compelling state interest, right? Because the reality is that if we don't try to do something now about it, then these same individuals who are complaining or have to saying, oh, you know, we shouldn't do this. If it's their child that's getting messed up one way or the other, they'll be coming back to us several years from now going, we need more money for mental health.
Here's my thing. We just talked about this. You don't know this, but we just talked about this because I was answering questions offline about this, you know, about mental health and stuff like that, Eric. And what's concerning to me also is that the governor would entertain Jason Broder's bill and look at it to have bloggers fined for dare mentioning a grown-up's name. But when it comes down to protecting our children, that the governor had to take pause on this. Which children is he trying to protect? His big children like Jason Broder or our actual children? I can't even get my mind around that. I don't understand his rationale. I really fucking don't.
I'm not a big fan of the kind of the bill you're talking about that the senator is doing. I'm not a big fan, but obviously that's for others to make that decision to vote on at some point. And so I hear the argument and I understand the argument that you're making. I really do. And so I'll just tell you that, look, that happens a lot here in Tallahassee, whether it be one side or the other. It feels at times for a lot of folks looking on the outside, kind of like we're picking and choosing here and there. And I would agree that in some level it does happen. You kind of go, man, I'm trying to understand the continuity between all this, right? And so while I'm not a big fan of that, and once again, you know, the governor's team evaluated the bill and probably felt that we need something that's going to hold constitutional muscle. We felt as if it did. They felt as if it wouldn't. And look, it comes down to, to be quite candid, it does come down to matters of opinion between both legal teams, right? Because that's the challenge all the time, right? You never know who's going to argue as an attorney, right? When this comes forth, this were to go before the Supreme Court. Because I could definitely see folks like Facebook and others or Meta, whoever, you know, challenging this in the state Supreme Court. And kind of going from there, and you know, it almost becomes a little subjective, right? And so we felt it would hold constitutional muster. The governor's legal team felt it probably wouldn't. So we are where we're at. I think we're still going to get a product. So at the end of the day, I do believe we'll get a product that at least starts us down that path and chipping away at some of this, or at least putting better stated this way, providing some sort of guardrails, because we are going to have, there's other things going to be coming forward. In the near future, we're already starting to have conversations about AI and what to do about that, because I think there is something there that we need to be very careful with AI. It's almost like once you let it out of the Pandora's box, it's very hard to put it back in. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the big deal that's been going on right now. There's a lot of other things that are obviously there's some concerns. There's a good bill I thought for businesses, just me personally, as someone who, you know, I'm always, you know, for small business owners and this, that, and the other. On the personal the tangible property property tax, which a lot of businesses could use, they increase the dollar amount that you can claim on that. You know, which I'm okay with. There was some stuff floating around about what do you do about property tax in general, right? So residential property tax, and there were some bills floating around on increasing the amount from 25 to 50,000. I'm of one who was never opposed to it, because we haven't done anything since the 1970s with that, and yet we've had inflation over the years and so forth. However, there's a legitimate argument to be made, obviously you being city commissioner, and many city commissioners and county commissioners from across state had concerns about it, because you're like, look, we get it. We understand what you guys are, you know, we understand you want to give, you know, tax breaks to residents and so forth, but at some point in time, it really starts to chip in into how we derive our revenues to provide services that we do for our local community.
Eric, you know what that's like? Eric.
Yeah.
It's like a stupid fake fucking promise ring instead of an engagement ring. I'm sorry, but if you're going to commit, commit. Here's the thing with that. They're not going to commit and tell me how to replace that revenue, and then my taxpayers are going to be pissed at me because I have to replace that shortfall. So the governor's doing that, or they're overseeing that, because it looks sexy. Gonna take your taxes away. Well, much like the county going to full rollback, knowing that they're not doing anything about any of the social issues that we need. Because it sounds sexy, and oh my God, the people with the pitchforks. You're not telling me how I'm going to replace that revenue. And I'm pissed off as a city commissioner because all the shit that they do at the federal level, when they take away funding for things that we need, say like VOCA, victims advocates, when they take that money away, then it comes down to the state. And there's a good old Uncle Daddy Ron that says, no, we're not doing this shit. You know why? Because I want to be able to say I have a pretty bank account. That's fucking more important to him than actually helping people. And then what happens there? The state's not going to give any money, but the county needs to look sexy too. So what they're going to do is we're going to go to rollback and we're going to build motocross. That's what they're doing. They're not addressing the issues. All that shit rolls downhill to the cities. And I'm sick of being a city commissioner, having to be the bad guy when I have to do special assessments because I'm having to take money out of general fund to take care of shit that we need to take care of, like social issues. It's fucking stupid. Do you hear me, Tallahassee? Well, it's stupid.
And once again, I'll say that it's not always, and look, in defense of the governor, it's not always up to him at the end of the day. There are the two branches of the government, you know, the two houses he has to work with, right?
Who is not understanding this? Who is not understanding this?
No, what I'm saying is that I know, look, he's the chief executive for the state, and I get it. And it's easy to always blame the governor, but it's not always coming from him. And I'm not trying to play blame on anybody specifically. I'm just telling you, there is a mindset up here. And I'm not going to argue one way or the other. I told you before, my own personal things before, were that I think sometimes cities and counties need to be checked because I think they go a little crazy. And I think there are cities out there that make it bad for everybody else sometimes. And I'm not always the biggest fan of approaching how can we do something where you're finessing it a little bit instead of dropping a hammer? Yeah, I think there's things we could do. But I'll say this, is that there's a general mindset that's been up here for a number of years in Tallahassee, which is the idea that, look, if these local governments are not going to figure out a way to curb how they spend their money on what they believe, right, on what they believe is frivolous spending, then we're going to do it. We're going to kind of do
we're
it for
do
them
it for you.
By doing
we're
something.
Do it for
well, I mean, look, and so
for a government that says and preaches about less fucking interference and less government, when they talk about less government, they like to say that until it comes down to their own self-interest, and then they need to get involved. It's just shit. The hypocrisy chokes me, seriously. And you know what? I don't choke.
Well, I'll be very honest. That is sometimes the nature of politics, unfortunately, not just at the state level. But you know as well as I do. It even happens at the local level. You know, what you term as the self-interest stuff, and the meddling that happens from outside individuals, right, when they're meddling with either city or county government stuff, trying to, you know, benefit in their own personal ways, and or commissioners, whether it be city or county, who have their own personal agendas on certain items. I'm going, when do we start losing sight of why you're supposed to be there? Look, I'm not going to be Pollyannish on some of this stuff, but I do also believe that when you're elected to do the job you're elected to do, then you do it, right? And you're there for your constituency. Now, you may not always agree, right? So if you're, and I know locally it's all MTA races, right? But I also understand too that—
Is
you
know, it really, Eric? Seriously.
Well—
We can't
no,
even say
and,
that.
And I'll tell
we
you.
Should be slapped anytime that anybody says that. Anytime anybody
well,
says
right.
that, we should be fucking slapped. Everybody
listen,
knows. It's partisan AF.
Know.
The governor
yeah,
made sure that.
Partisan.
Let me get involved in the school board and the local races, so I'm going to make
well,
this
listen.
Partisan as fuck.
It's all Is it all partisan in the day when they're crunching the numbers? Yes, it is. Yeah. However, you know, when somebody gets elected and they happen to be a particular party, they're always, you know, they're going to go with the mindset that, hey, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my constituency because that's who voted me. I'll make the case that if you're a Democrat from Orlando, you are going to go ahead and vote and advocate for things that you know darn well that there may be 20% of your population doesn't agree with you, but what you're going to say, the takeaway is going to be that, well, 80% of the people voted for me because I believe this way, and that's how I'm going to legislate and or govern that in that capacity. So once again, that's fine. I'm okay with that because I get it, because everybody has to advocate for the constituencies for the vast majority who voted for you. However, what my problem is, Dana, and I told you this privately before, is it's when you go with either an agenda that runs contrary to what you're supposed to be doing as an elected official and or allowing outside forces to constantly meddle. Like, look, I've told people before, I have no problem with lobbyists. I know a lot of lobbyists that I get along with very well, and there's some that I trust, and they're a great resource for us. But I also know there are many, a good number, who also like to play games constantly. Now, I get it, they got a job to do, but the problem is that sometimes what they're doing advocating for is not always in the best interest of constituencies. Let's say, for example, and then a member's got to figure out how to thread that needle a little bit, and or sometimes just tell them flat out no. Yeah. And that's the problem. And so when we lose sight of who we're actually supposed to be fighting for, right? And not just a little carve out here, a little carve out there, that's when things start to get a little bit, mucked up a little tiny bit. And that's what I'm always a little bit worried about. Yeah. Thankfully, we're not as bad as DC, but if we're not careful, we could go down that slippery slope very quickly if we're not careful. Hey, look, just my little hot take on a Friday in Tallahassee. Well, I'll get a few minutes to break away to kind of phone in, and while all the members on the House floor debating, different policies. But like I said, there are a number of things. There's a number of things that we did for children that were very bipartisan in nature. Even certain Democrat bills that were for children that everybody felt like was definitely moving in the right direction.
How did our girl do? How did Jessica Baker do?
I got to remember her bill has, I think her bill is coming up sooner, got sent over. So I think her bill is already, is doing well. I'll have to double check on that with you, but if I'm not mistaken, I think her bill is doing well.
And what about 1317? Did that shit die? We just talked about that.
1371. Yeah. So just so everybody, so people know and understand too, usually by the sixth or seventh week of session, most committees stop. So if you're still looking at, it's fodder for state affairs, just know at this point in time in the session, that bill is not going anywhere. Now, there's a thing that you can always waive the rules, right? Because rules, are rules. They're not set in stone, Florida statutes, and they can always be waived. However, generally speaking, both House and Senate like to stick to the rules as much as possible. And that's just because, in essence, they all know too. At the end of the day, that's how you keep the playing field a little bit level for everybody.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, let me ask you this.
See that? Yeah.
You know about my gypsy prowess, right?
Yeah.
Would you say that it lives? Would you say that there's a little bit of truth to that?
That what?
About my gypsy prowess.
Oh, yeah, no. I was just saying that. Yeah, it's caught me off guard a few times myself.
Okay,
yeah,
so this is what I predict, okay? Yeah. This is what I predict. You and I and a couple of associates in about 5 years, we're going to open up a lobbying firm, okay?
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez.
No, listen. I believe that we can do this. And we're going to call it Sugar and Associates, okay?
Sugar and Associates.
Because we're going to be bipartisan, okay? You can get more with sugar than you can vinegar, okay?
That is true.
And because you and I embody the spirit of working together, right, and bringing people together and building consensus, we're going to call it Sugar and Associates. And we can short it to Sugar and Ass, right, dot. And I think that we will be really successful.
Hey, listen.
With your brawn and my brains... I think with my Southern charm and your Northern sensibility and your Latina machismo and my soft, delicate flower, demure, Southern delicate flower self, that we could get a lot accomplished with the right associates in place.
I think there's an opportunity for anybody to do something up here. Here's what I'll tell you though. The individuals, and this happens on both sides of the aisle, right? I don't care what type. If you're an advocacy group that is a super progressive or an advocacy group that's very hard far right, I think they're the ones who struggle. I think the sweet spot always is being practical and open to the fact that this whole process, whether we always like it or not, is about negotiating.
Eric,
right?
You just wrote our tagline. Sugar and Associates, finding the soft spot, finding the sweet spot in politics is our specialty.
Well, there you go.
It's copyrighted. It's copyrighted as right now.
That's my 2 cents for today.
God, I missed having you here today.
We got, We got another week left.
Okay.
I'm hoping, you know, for a lot of folks who are listening back home that, you know, for them, we're not creating too much more damage. I do believe, for me personally, there's a lot we're doing very good on. There's some things I have concerns about what that looks like down the road. Mm-hmm. But there are a number of things that we're trying to do when it comes to mental health, domestic violence issues, trying to ensure that there is a level playing field for small business folks as well as the big folks that are playing as well from the state of Florida. But also advocating also for children.
Right.
There's definitely a move here in Tallahassee where we're looking at, and this goes back to an earlier a statement that we had made before in one of the previous shows, where if we're going to go down this path of being, you know, quote unquote, more pro-life in the state of Florida,
right,
we need to put our money where our mouth is. And I think there is definitely, I'm definitely seeing a sea change where we're trying to put more money towards kids because we understand how important that
exactly
is.
And here's the thing. As a Democrat, if the stance, the Republican stance, would soften on the abortion bill, listen, 6 weeks is too restrictive. If you made it for 12 weeks, I could breathe through that. And in turn, mm-hmm. I would support Republican-led ask for money and legislation when it comes to adoption bills, when it comes to how we feed these children that are born. You know, it's not a hard line with me, because when I say woman's choice, I mean woman's choice. If a woman chooses to not have a child, I support her. If a woman chooses to have a child, I want to be in the position to support her also financially, mentally, to get her out of the system. Do you know what I mean? So when I say that I am pro-choice, that's what pro-choice means. I didn't say I'm pro-abortion. I am not pro-abortion. Do you hear that, Republican leadership in Tallahassee? That's not usually what people mean when they say pro-choice. They want a woman to be able to make her decision and then follow that and then give her the support to follow that. So if they could take the cotton out of their ears and stuff it in their mouth and understand what being pro-choice really means, I think that that would be a good start.
Listen, I don't know what, if any, will be done for folks, you know, like you. And there's also some Republicans, too. Now, I'm not saying this up here, but a number of Republicans throughout the state who felt like the bonus was a little too restrictive.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to change. However,
it should.
What I mean, at least I hear you. And I understand.
Here's the thing. Do they ever think that if they bend a little bit on abortion, that Democrats will soften a little bit on other stances? You know what I'm saying? This give and take.
I hear you, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case, though.
All Republicans say. That's why we don't give you a chance. Well, we don't trust you. We don't believe you. Okay.
I'm encouraged by this fact. Listen, I hear you. What I'm just telling you is that I am encouraged that there is a renewed sense of we definitely need to start pouring more money into kids. Not to say that we haven't, but because of the recent legislation, there's a renewed focus on ensuring that we start pouring more money into kids and ensuring that we have better outcomes for these children in the long run.
Yeah, you know what? Y'all also need to get off your ass on domestic violence as well, but that's for another day. We'll get into that on another day.
Listen, once again, I told you, you and I have had conversations about this as far as you advocating for that, and I think there's room for opportunity there.
Listen, I'm telling you something. This is going to beat my platform for the next 4 years if I decide to run for office again in the city of Deltona. That is going to be my most important mission. Development, man, that's always going to be in my back pocket, working on that, those issues. So development and domestic violence, the D&D, you know what I mean? That's going to be my jam. Are you going to be here next Friday? Are you going to be here next Friday?
Because we're running right through. We're going to next Friday. So Friday's when we finish. Yes, my dear.
All right.
So next Friday's our last day. When this gets released, March 8th is our last day. And by the time this gets released.
Whatever you say. Okay.
All right, my dear. Listen, I got to get back.
Miss you. Love you, mean it. Talk to you later.
I appreciate it. OG, thank you so much as always, sir.
You got it. Hey, before you leave, put the governor on the phone.
That's not going
to
happen.
On the phone to Ronnie. I want to say hi.
Yeah.
Not me.
All right.
All right, y'all, darling. Thank you, babe. All right. Love you, mean it, honey.
Yep. Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Always a pleasure having my brother here.
Yes, ma'am.
Even in spirit. He knew I needed him. I called him and I said, can you please
fucking call? 30 minutes, so that was good.
That was good. It's almost like he was here.
Oh my gosh, right, almost.
Next week, let me ask you this, okay? We need to get somebody else in here to edit, and I just need you to sit here with an Eric mask on. Can you do that?
Sure, we can work something out, I'm sure.
All right. I love you. Okay, so the last – I got questions here. The last question is regarding a development that's going on with the city of Deltona. And, you know, the Cocky Rooster chimed in, said, attend and demand the builder put in the infrastructure needed within a three-mile radius, if not more. Amen, brother. Can I get a witness to whoever put that? So we're talking about a DRC meeting here in the city of Deltona, a request to bring 40-foot lot subdivision. Fuck off. And I'm not prejudging. I'm just saying that those types of developments are the things that are helping cause flooding in our area. It's just, that's my take. I could be completely wrong on that after studying infrastructure for the last 3.5-4 years and flooding. I don't know. I could be wrong, but probably not. Let's see. Randy Lee White says, I also sent an email asking for an explanation regarding the contract included in this request. So whenever you get a chance, I'd love to hear your take on it. You're going to hear my take on it right now. I checked into that and I did see an email that you sent, and it says, this attachment dated 2024 and said it's prepared by and be returned to who, anybody care to explain. And what this is a developer document. And Brandy, what happened here? The staff is advised that the applicant used the old development agreement template. The applicant submitted the document and staff is unable to change anything as submitted. This will be addressed in a DRC meeting on Thursday and staff will inform the applicant the new template is online on our website. So who actually wrote this? Because Brandy says now this was sent from staff, Miss Sandy, who is a goddess in the city of Deltona. And then Brandy said, well, who actually wrote this? Because I'm confused why they would be able to edit every other section of the document, because that's not old and outdated. That's current information specifically attached to this specific development and updated except for that spot there. Well, Brandy, because I looked at it also, and what this is, they used an old template, an old fillable template, instead of the new one that has new directions on it. So the developer downloaded and saved this. It's fillable, like Adobe PDF. They were able to fill it, but it was an old template. They didn't use the most recent template that has been provided on the city website. That's how they were able to do that. They were able to edit every other section of the document. That other was, I'm guessing, a hard write, much like Adobe gives you fillable areas and not. So this is what I'm being told. So I hope that that answers your question on that. And let's see if there's any other juiciness. I have 2 minutes here. I said I'd be able to help with that. Anything I can help. Michael Butler writes in, this is the last one I'll be able to answer here. I understand that new construction can inhibit drainage, increased traffic flow, and overflow of the city's infrastructure, albeit outdated, but each new home has impact fees, thousands or dollars per home that go into public services, taxes, etc. I also understand that Deltona has had a massive population boom. I see a lot of posts about extracurricular activities, restaurants, shopping plazas, and the community wanting them in Deltona rather than OC, Sanford, DeLand. Is it safe to assume that these homes can potentially create jobs and bring those companies into Deltona? And Brandy answers quite succinctly. We've heard that spiel for 10 years. The tiny benefit of a property tax does not outweigh the long-term expenses that come with it. And right now, everybody's main concern should be flooding and the fact that we're in the middle of a Teresa Basin water study. We're spending how many thousands of dollars on that? They're basing it on the zoning that is currently in place. So are we going to keep having them go back to the drawing board? Or are we going to say no more rezones until we have the answers? Ding, 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 ding. Especially if it's homesteaded, you're talking about $1,000 or $2,000 a year tops per household. And I'm sure that's if you include county, I'm sure. There will be exceptions, but realistically, the benefits do not outweigh the impact. Brandy, you were right about that. Michael said, I've known for a fact that I've taken checks to the city of DeLand for new construction that were anywhere between $10,000 to $14,000. That's impact fees. And can I tell you something, Michael? That impact fees is basically equating to them wiping their own butt and paying for that infrastructure in that area. But that does not fulfill infrastructure needs that are outdated, have not been properly maintained by a municipality other, because those are actually twice more probably than what the impact fees will cover. We would need a whole hour to talk about this, and I would like to talk about it further. Michael, you sound very informed. If you would like to be a guest on the show.
Next week.
next week. You tell me about it. Brandy, thank you for always picking up the gauntlet on this. I appreciate it. This is too long of a string, but they bring up some very good points regarding wetland design and how we're doing. Listen, everybody knows that growth and development is either number one or number two on my personal platform list. I like paying attention to this stuff. I have brought a lot of this stuff to the forefront. I believe in the city of Deltona, I try to do my homework and be an advocate for good, responsible development. So, you know, Randy Priest writes into, I challenge you to come drive back here and see where they want to cram this crap in. It's the acreage is back there. The road's not meant for it. It's for country living. Listen, Randy, I invite you to the show also. Listen, I could bring in a whole host of people to talk about this, and I would love to talk about the way that it impacts you personally. So this conversation will be carried on. Please know that I would love having anybody that wants to come on the show and talk about this specifically. I would love to have that. I'm going to finish out the show here today. Oh, my God, I can't believe an hour went by. For your first responders, we have a Valor Awards to vote. Valor Award, highest award for valor and heroism in public safety, the highest award for valor and heroism. Life-saving awards, recognition of official acts taken in by public safety officials. Outstanding performance and award is going to be selected by the each department. And please, you can find out more information by visiting www.HispanicChamber Central Florida or HispanicChamberCFL.org. A community recognition event by the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce of Central Florida. And I will tell you that they've done a beautiful job, the Hispanic Chamber, of combining the West Volusia Chamber as well. They work tirelessly. I can't say enough about Lourdes and the job and leadership that she's doing is amazing. Franklin is amazing too, and all the other people that we have working with the Hispanic Chamber. I love them to pieces, love helping out. So the Valor Awards, the deadline by 3:15, go to, again, www.HispanicChamberCFL.org. And I'm sure that if I ask and whine nicely enough and mention peanut butter whiskey, that the OG will put that up so that you can see that. That is really, really important. So listen, everybody, this is going to be held at 6 p.m. the center at Deltona. You will see, go there and you will get the date and time. Just can't wait to see this. So, thank you all very much for joining us today. I don't know who I'm going to have on next week with me, but I'll be back, next week. And listen, I want to tell you all, remember this, that if it's important to you, it is important to us. Peace. Have a good weekend.
The Smoking Truth Podcast, its owners and sponsors, take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the talk show host or their guest. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of Mike and Mike Productions or the podcast providers, and opinions between talk show hosts may differ. It is not our intent to libel, incite, or hurt anyone's feelings. We invite you to write the show's host, Dana McCool, with any feedback or suggestions you have for their shows. These broadcasts are presented and made public as entertainment in the hope that they will be entertaining to the audience.